I'm talking to my emotions here. As I told you before, get back. We got some work to do here today. And thank you so much, all of you, for putting that together. And for that, whoever put together that, did you put that together, Phil? That reel?
Yeah, I put it together.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was wonderful. Yeah, see, I have proof. I was a kid once. And God was there, too, even before I knew him. Well, we're continuing our series here, Faith, Family, and Freedom. And this month of July, we're really celebrating our nation, but we're also celebrating what our nation really provides for us and affords us the liberties and opportunities to do. You know, our country was founded upon the principle of providing opportunity, and the rest of the world wants to engineer outcome through socialism and communism. And socialism has a 100% failure rate history-wide. It has cost the lives of millions of people who have been murdered, killed, destroyed due to rulers who don't know what they're doing. And that litters history with, that's the works of man. That's the Babylon system right there. You know, before, before, you can read in the Chumash. The Chumash is the writing of the rabbis. It's not inspired writing or anything. It's just logged history and whatever. But up until Babylon, the Babylonian Tower and King Nimrod and all that, it says there were no kings in the earth, and there were no wars either. That'll tell you something. With King Nimrod, and he was a real Nimrod too, of course, he probably knows that now very well. He's been knowing it for thousands of years. But just one more thing. Without God, you can do nothing. Without Jesus authoring, whatever you do, it's nothing. And if it doesn't provide freedom, it will fail. Because Jesus is a liberating God. Well, as we prepare to get into the Word of God and to confess, make our weekly confession, turn with me to Psalm 133. And let's get ready to release our faith, make our pledge to make the Word of God our first and final authority, and make our commitment to God that His Word will reign and rule in our lives, that it will be not only our first and final authority, but our commitment to be doers of the Word of God. Yeah, you know, like I said before, you can do a lot of things, but until you do the Word of God, the Word of God does no good for you. In fact, Jesus closed the Sermon on the Mount. You know how he closed the Sermon on the Mount? It was pretty dramatic. But he knew how to make a point. He said, "Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds beat upon that house, but the house didn't fall because it was founded upon a rock." When you do the Word of God, when you hear the Word of God and you do what Jesus said to do, you can't be defeated. No weather pattern, winds of this world, the storms of life, whatever it is, can beat upon you and you will continue to stand. Amen? Amen. So with our pledge to make God's Word first and final authority in our life and our commitment to be doers of the Word, let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Is this word speaking to you? Psalm 133, and we'll start in verse 1. He said, behold, look. Take your eyes off everything and look at this. Behold, look, see how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the hem of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. There is deep revelation in this psalm. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Brothers, that could mean family brothers. That could mean friends, school buddies, friends at work, people together, communities. How about our nation? Is our nation really dwelling together these days? Or is it really divided? How about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth? Would we say that we're dwelling together as well as we could be? No. Well, there are groups and organizations who are bent on dividing this country. And that goes right down into our schools, too. I heard this expression the other day, but all of these atheistic teachers that litter the faculty lounges with their presence, teaching your kids socialism and how evil this country is, how wrong this Constitution is. The Constitution is the most amazing document ever written, second only to the Bible. It's the only document in all of history, governmental document, that limits government and releases its people in all of their freedoms. It's the only document known to unite people who have different interests, different opinions, and everything that's different among us, cultures and everything, all different, but unites us in the fact that we're all free. Yes. It's an amazing thing. And they say that that's bad. But their manifestos, who are hell-bent on destroying the nuclear family, the nucleus of the family that God designed for this word in order to get his blessing into the earth to release power into mankind through the families. It's the most powerful unit in the world right now is the family. The devil has been after the family for years and years and years. In fact, I'll go all the way back to Cain and Abel. How's that? Division, sowing discord. Powerful stuff. Jesus told us how nations are destroyed. In Matthew 12:25, he said this, every nation, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house, that's a family, divided against itself shall not, division destroys. You know what unites us? Faith. Faith in God is what unites us. The devil, in fact, I'm going to read you something here. Since they don't teach this in schools anymore, since they don't teach this in universities, we got to become the black robe pulpit, the black robe school teachers that from the pulpit teaching and uniting people in the cause of the freedom. I got news for this government. Hear me. You want to hear me? We got delivered. We delivered ourselves, and God was on our side and delivered us from tyranny once, and it'll happen again. And now it's even better because all we have to do is speak it. And we've got a high priest working on our behalf to liberate and take the chains off of people that you put on. We're done. And we're rising up. Saul Alinsky was a community organizer in Chicago. Does that sound familiar? You know who else was a community organizer before he was president of the United States? Obama. Saul Alinsky was an avowed socialist. And one of his number one students was Hillary Clinton, Hillary Rodham. And also Obama was one of his students. He taught them. It says that, and he wrote a book called Rules for Radicals. And he says, this is a synopsis into it, how to create a socialist state. He said, there are 8 levels of control that must be obtained before you are able to create a socialist state. The first is the most important. Number one, health care. Control health care and you control the people. Here's an example, the COVID virus. You notice nobody died of cancer. Nobody died of kidney failure. Nobody died of heart attacks or anything last year. They all died of COVID. You know why? Because if they said they died of COVID, there was a money stream. That money stream corrupted the medical industry. The entire medical field was corrupted. You can't get any straight statistics about who died of COVID or who didn't. But what you were, it locked up most of the country in fear that they would get something that they probably would never get. Because they didn't have the facts. If the government controls the health, it's totally corrupted. Then they decide who lives and who dies and who gets eliminated and whatever. I mean, if they have no mercy, that side of the, if they want to kill babies, whether they're in the womb or out of the womb now, how do you think that they're going to look at you when you're 85? Who's got the target on the back then? If they have no respect for life then, they have no respect for life then. Right. Number one, control health care. You know, all this is control. Poverty. Number two, increase poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you are providing everything for them to live. Number three, debt. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That way you are able to increase taxes. This will produce more poverty. This was written back in 1949. So number one, healthcare. Number two, poverty. Number three, debt. Number four, gun control. Remove the ability to defend themselves from the government. That way you're able to create a police state. It'll no longer say Elgin, Carpentersville, Algonquin Police. It would say Police Force of the United States. It's a federales. Look at Mexico. You know, Gama told me one too. I mean, they can come right into your house. You have no rights. No wonder they're all coming here. This is the last bastion of freedom in the world. I like to stay on faith myself because that's my wheelhouse, is faith, because that's got me to where I am. But there comes a point in time, folks, when we've got to say some things. We've got to start getting the word out there and uniting in our faith in God over this country. We can differ about some things, but we can still be united in our faith in freedom and the freedoms that this country dictates to us and affords us, gun control. Then number five is welfare. Take control of every aspect of their lives, food, housing, and income. He wrote this in order to create a socialist state. Does it sound like something you want to live in? Oh, but it's so good, socialism. This is what they're teaching in school. They are teaching the opposite. They are degrading the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, saying, well, they were all slave owners. I'm not even going to go there. I mean, it's so insane. Number six, education. Take control of what people read and listen to. Take control of what children learn in school. That's what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, what's taught, the philosophy of the schoolroom will be the philosophy of the government in the next generation. You teach the kids, they'll grow up and become. You know, they have more faith in the law of seed time and harvest than Christians do for the most part. Religion, remove the belief in God from the government and schools. That's number seven. They did that in the 60s or 70s. They removed prayer from school. I remember when I was a kid saying Pledge of Allegiance and Our Father. In one day, millions and millions of prayers stopped. Then you got, then they started murdering babies. Then they started doing this, the government, they removed the gold standard. You know, the prayers of those children were powerful. They meant something. They had a message that was accumulated in their hearts. The presence of God was in those schools. The prayers of children? Come on. How insidious. Number 8, class warfare. Divide the people into wealthy and the poor. This will cause more discontent, and it will be easier to take or tax the wealthy with the support for the poor. In other words, they're going to take the wealth, tax, overtax them so that they can feed the poor who either don't want to work or they're being paid to work. And the thing is, it's like if you studied for a test and you got 100, but your test came back and now you're at 70 because part of your grade had to go to the others on the curve in order to balance things out. They're getting credit for your work. And that's the way socialism is supposed to work. The problem is when you run out of money, they say, we've got to have equality. Everybody's equal. And nobody's more important than anybody else, as if money is what makes people important. And so they say all of that. But then when they run out of money, it's amazing how they start eliminating the populations. Stalin killed at least 30 to 40 million. Other estimates are 70 million of his own people were murdered because he couldn't support them anymore. Hitler, socialist, communist, dictators. How many people has, what is his name, Kim Jong-un? He has work camps and everything where people are dying every day because they don't get fed and they have to work. Eliminating, it's a process of eliminating population. This is what socialism and communism does. We have a nation that is the most powerful nation, and they say, well, it was born in slavery. This nation has done more for human rights than any other nation in the history of the world. They have done more to correct the wrongs that they made at the inset when the entire world was steeped in slavery, infected with slavery. And it was a practice here. Finally, they did eliminate it. The Civil War, 380,000 white men died so that black men would not be put into slavery again. And it liberated them. And now, you see, Ben Carson. I'm talking about people who saw and took the what? The opportunity, not the handouts. You pay people to be poor. Guess what happens? They stay poor. And they stay manipulated. Jesus came to set us free. Okay, end of history lesson. That's what's going on. And these kind of people who are disciples of them are in your schoolrooms teaching your kids. Time to take that back, isn't it? It's time to start running for the school board. Okay. Are you happy you came today? I mean, we're... Faith in God unites us. Faith is based on the Word of God. Faith comes when we hear the Word of God and allow truth to override our senses, to override our perceptions of truth and deliver the truth to us so we can walk in that truth. That's what faith does. Did you know that faith unites us despite all of the opinions, attitudes, different interests and different effort, whatever. We're all different. We're all different, you know. My grandmother used to say that. Because Ephesians 4 says this, that there were spiritual gifts delivered into the church, right? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the work until we all come into the unity of the what?
Faith.
Faith. It didn't say anything about coming into the unity of our doctrines. So no matter what your doctrine is, faith unites us. We can great is the mystery of godliness. Let's say 1 Timothy 3:6 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. If you believe in those things, your faith in those things will unite you with other brothers who may have a different opinion about something. Here, we preach the word of faith. Paul said, we preach the word of faith. So we preach the word of faith here. If we agree in these things, we can walk together in unity because we have a common bond in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that he was virgin born, as it said in Isaiah 14. We believe that he was born in Bethlehem, as it said in Micah chapter 5. And you know, they knew that. They knew that. And Herod said to the guys, he said, where is this guy going to be born? And he said, they said Bethlehem. They knew it. And yet, they still thought they had a better plan of their own. This is how the human heart has the ability to deceive itself. This is why we need to take heed and walk in the Word of God. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Self-deception from turning away from the Word of God. And that's what this country did, really, primarily back in the 1960s. With women like Madeline Marie O'Hare. Ask her if she's happy right now. This is why there's unity in faith. This is why God commands the blessing on brothers who dwell together in unity, on families that dwell together in unity. Family unity carries the blessing of God on it. You know, every time I think of Phil and Leah raising their family and their whole family being together and heavy with them, it just absolutely blesses me. I say, Rick and Debbie and the daughters and you guys and John and Monse and those three beautiful kids, Izzy and Olichka, you guys, Dwight, your kids are serving God. Family is serving God. It's just such a blessing. Let's renew ourselves in the fact that God's blessing rests on those families. Kristen taking care of Josh and you seeing after, making sure everything is fine with him. Josh, you take care of her and make everything. And yeah, see, we got some love going on there. And Dee. Family is, it just pleases God because it takes, I'm telling you something. Think of this. Think of Noah. Took him 120 years just to build the ark. All right? That's a good piece of work. And during that time, he was attacked, persecuted, and everything from people. I mean, it's pretty obvious in the Bible that he was under persecution. 2 Peter chapter 2 says that he was a preacher of righteousness. And you know who hates righteousness, don't you? You know who instigates crowds and creates mob rule, don't you? He was facing a lot, and they were division. He tried to divide their family, I'll bet, on numerous occasions. It was like they probably had something to fight about every week. The devil made sure of that. But they stood together for 120 years and built that ark. The ability of Noah to order his family and to bring his family into unity, to solve conflict and to resolve it and to resist conflict had to be amazing. You know why? It says he walked with God. His faith in God unified his family. Rick, your faith in God. Brian, your faith in God. Mike, your faith in God will unite your family.
Your faith in God.
My faith in God, too. I can unite me and Lori. But the thing, and God holds the man responsible for that. We need to understand. Are you going to have conflicts? Yeah. But the bottom line is when all that's done, I'm still the son of Bob Totten, even though we had our differences. You know, a family united. I'll tell you something. If my father went out and did something stupid, that's all I would have needed when I was 17 years old to just go out and blow the whole thing out of the water. Think of that. Next time you want to just go ahead and do something wrong. Your family depends on you. A family united. Faith in God will unite your family in a way that nothing else can. It's supernatural unity. And unity works both ways, both in righteousness and also in evil. Genesis 11 gives us that account. I mentioned this before about Nimrod and all this. But it says in Genesis 11, chapter 11, verse 6, it says that the unity of the Babylonian people was so powerful that they could do anything that they can conceive of. Nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. If they could think of it, they could do it. And you know what that would have done? That would have rushed. It would have accelerated the maturing of the ages, and God's plan of redemption wouldn't have been fulfilled. God had to put a stop to their ability to agree together, because that was an evil agenda. He wanted to rule the world. Hitler wanted to rule the world. Stalin wanted to rule the world. Mao Zedong wanted to rule the world. So does Xi now. Or Qi, whatever, however you say it. China, the dictator over there. We got to wake up. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not. We need the presence of God so real in our families at this point in time, because the onslaught is getting closer and closer and closer all the time. The devil is trying to take your mouth, speak the wrong words. He's trying to take your attitudes. He's got all kinds. Now, social media and all of that stuff, he's got all kinds of inroads now that he never had before. And that evil is multiplying exponentially. And then when you come up and say something that's righteous and right, they cancel you out because they don't want anybody to hear what can really benefit them. They want to control that. Control, control, control. The old socialist state. Control, control. I don't want a man to control me. I want to, you know what's equal? The ground at the cross is level for all of us. That's the only kind of level that I want, because God can manage that. He can go, hey, you got an attitude there? The Holy Spirit will check you. That's not going to work for you. Go apologize to him. Forgive him. Why? So that you can be forgiven. Well, why don't you? I mean, you said I can come and receive my forgiveness. Yeah, but it's not going to do you any good if you don't forgive. You hypocrite. God can say that to you. It's you hypocrite. Because you're expecting mercy from me that you're unwilling, that you don't deserve, and you're asking, no, it doesn't work that way. If you want mercy, you've got to give mercy. If you want forgiveness, you've got to be willing to forgive. This goes for our families and the mistakes that we've made, because the closer we are together, the more that we can offend each other. So we might as well understand that and say, look, you know, we're rubbing elbows here, sometimes a little abrasively, and we need to just put all that behind and love one another and enjoy what we do have. Put our differences away and celebrate what we do have together. We got blood in this. We got family in this. And faith in God. We have that. And if we agree, you know, the power of the family is the power of unity. The power of marriage is the power of agreement. And here's the thing, you know, the family isn't the family. The family is the husband and wife, because one day the kids will grow up and go, and the family is still the family, husband and wife. They are your offspring. Those are you progenerate into this world as eternal spirits. And they will progenerate too. And they will get married and have kids and so forth. And it's important that they understand the power of the unity that they had in that family that you raised. I was glad to be part of a good family. I had a good dad. He was a good provider. My mom, she contributed to so many lives. At the age of 40, she said, I'm going to go be a school teacher. And she went to 4 years of college. She got a job. And I later met one of these. She had these two black kids named Derek and Jerick. They were twins. And they were just delightful kids. She loved them. And Jerick had a problem with one ear. He was deaf in one ear. So anytime my mother said something to him, he would go like this and turn his deaf ear towards her. You know, but they loved her. And I remember I had this job after I left the bands that I was in. I had this one job in this warehouse, and I met this kid, and he said, hi, my name's Jerick. I said, did you go to North Haven High School? This is in Connecticut. He said, yeah. He said, what's your name anyway? And I said, Totten. I know your mother. I know your mother. She was the best. She brought us in. I never liked school before her. And when she started teaching us, I started to like school. She knew how to bring it out. My mom knew how to bring out things in me that I didn't, you know. She knew how to get inside my head. Moms, you got a gift. You can get inside your kids' heads like your husband can't. He's called to do something else. But he also needs to get into their kids' heads. But it's important that the mother and father connect. You have an agreement together. And they can unify their family. Family unity. We live in a country that affords this, that gives us that opportunity. They don't have an agenda, a legal one. They don't have any legal right to take your kids and teach them what they want to, although that's what they're trying to do. They found out ways to do it. But you know what? We don't need to fear. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. You prepare a place for me in the presence of my enemies, and we got plenty of those around. In the presence of mine enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. The anointing, because I dwell together with my family in unity, and the anointing falls. You know, Mount Hermon is 9,000 feet high. It's snow-capped most of the year. And on warmer days, some of that drips down, and it really fills the Jordan Valley and the Sea of Galilee with all of that water, and it supplies down. All of northern Israel is supplied by the dews of Hermon. That's what unity is like. It flows down into your family and gets into the northern part of you. And you start to get unified with God and with your family. And the oil. There was one high priest. The first high priest was Aaron. And it's like the anointing that run over down over the head. They used to pour oil on him, down his head, down his beard, and down to his garments. Unity does that. It activates the anointing. It helps us to realize the anointing that is in us, that abides in us. We have an anointing that abides within, the Bible says. We all have that. And how Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power, who went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was anointed with the oil of gladness above his brethren, it says in Hebrews 1:9, because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Righteousness comes from faith. A lot of people think, I wish I was more righteous, maybe I'd have more faith. No, it doesn't work that way. Faith doesn't come by righteousness. Righteousness comes by faith. That should have got a really much bigger amen than that. I mean, that was like dead silence. Faith doesn't come by righteousness. Righteousness comes by faith. Amen. Amen. God is a liberating God. I was going somewhere with all that. I want you to feel good about your families this morning. How God has given you a real blessing with your children, with your marriage. You know, and the devil comes in and says, how you know you're going to live up? I don't have to live up to anything. He lived up to it for me. All I have to do is agree with him. And I surrender. That's what I do. I surrender to him. I know what it's like to be delivered from alcoholism. I know what it's like to be delivered from drugs. And I think I was just addicted to getting high. But the Holy Spirit can make you high. They all thought they were drunk on the day of Pentecost. You know, Jerry Savelle, in these meetings, they used to get so high on the Holy Spirit. One day, his wife Carolyn came out to the parking lot, and there's Jerry driving around in circles in the parking lot. She wouldn't let him drive. He was so filled with the Holy Spirit, she took the wheel, and they went to a 7-Eleven. He had to get some milk, and he walked in, and the guy sitting there behind the counter said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm a son of the living God." And they said, "What do you want?" "We'll do anything." The presence of God was just on him in such a tremendous amount. He got them both saved and filled with the Spirit right there. You know, walk with God and get filled with God. Get filled with God and bring that filling to your family. You know, pray in tongues all the way home from work sometime and just explode when you get home with love. And just encourage your kids, encourage your wife who's been listening to the kids a lot and dealing with things at home. And so you carry in you a treasure. It's a precious cargo, and it's a treasure that the devil has no defense for. And it will reveal his plan, his plot, and everything, and bring it to nothing. Every weapon formed against you will be destroyed at the anointing that's in you. Dads and moms, sorry there's no Kids Day. There's Mother's Day in May, and there's Father's Day in June. Every day is Kids Day. So we celebrate the kids every day, but we do celebrate the moms and dads. That should be more. That should be once a month. Should be Father's Day, at least Father's Day. But it should be Father's Day and Mother's Day, you know, intervals every month. Celebrate that. Think of Noah, the ability that he had to unify his family for 120 years while they were under attack and persecution. Think of Abraham. In fact, God called him because he knew he would rule his family well. Bible says. He was the father of our faith. And do you know what that did? He believed God that he would be the heir of the world. You can read that in Romans chapter 4. Of the world. People are chasing after the world. No, chase after God. He'll give you the world. For to this, that unity, God not only blesses you, he commands the blessing on you. And the blessing is different than the blessings. The blessing is a gift from God that he released into Adam. The blessing was God's final work of creation. The blessing. The blessing. Abraham taught that to Isaac. Isaac taught that to Jacob. Well, Jacob was he got his life straightened out because he came back because the blessing was there, locked in. And it dissipated through the ages. We see it. But it was on Noah. It was on Enoch, the blessing. And it was on some of the prophets. We see it in David's life. We see it in Solomon's life. The blessing, the blessing, the blessing. And then the first thing Jesus talked about when he came on the scene was blessed, 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 blessed. And that whole Sermon on the Mount that I mentioned before, that entire Sermon on the Mount is how to operate in the blessing. And when you do that, the blessing will start working in you for you, around you, in you, and it'll unify your family. It'll unify your mind with God, and your faith in God will just soar. Amen. Is that good? Get anything out of that today? I had a message here, but I canned it. It was a pretty good one, too. Stay in the Word. Stay forgiving. Stay merciful. Stay expecting God's grace and be willing to give God's grace to others. Get out of strife. Get strife out of your family. Get offense out and resist it. Give it no place. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every appearance of evil. For to this the Lord commands the blessing. Is that good?
Yeah.
Praise God. Well, Father, thank you today for that birthday celebration. Thank you so much. Thank you for reminding me of where I came from and everything that you've done in my life, everything that was given to me. God, you're so good. Thank you for a mom and a dad, brother and sister. Thank you for the life that really has just begun. That we can walk in this thing together and be overcome with your goodness, blessing. Help us through those times. And Lord, help us to look for opportunities to bless others, to be a blessing to others. Opportunities to lift each other, encourage each other, and to pray for each other. To do good for each other, especially those of the household of faith. Thank you, Lord, for the gentle reminders thing. You are there all the time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I say this every day, but I'll say it now. Angels of heaven, go forth. Make our way safe and very prosperous. Spirit, soul, body, and financially. In Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. There's more celebrations in the cafe. You guys made sure of that. And I love you and thank you so much for the opportunity to pastor and to speak the word of God to you. You are dismissed. If you need prayer for anything else, come on up in our prayer. Our altar ministers will take care of it. I love you. Praise God. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Lord.